Let us turn in the Word of God, please, to 1 John. And let us come briefly before the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy revealed Word. We thank Thee that in it sinners like us have hope. For we have sinned against Thee, and we are in need of forgiveness and salvation. And we thank Thee that Thy Word reveals to us Thy Son, who came to seek and to save us sinners. We pray that this might be our experience, and that our lives might be transformed as the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is preached. Bless us and receive our thanks and praise now for this unspeakable gift and this wonderful message of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
This morning I want to bring to you the primary message of the Bible. What is the main message of the Bible? Why was the Bible given to us? Yes, well, we could say, well, the Bible was given to us as God's revelation of Himself so that we might know Him and know ourselves too. But why has God revealed Himself? Friends, did you know that in the New Testament there are 290 references to the love of God? This is very much popular to preach about the love of God. 290 times when God declares His love for sinners. But there is some other subject, there is something else that is even more repeated in the Bible. There are more than 1,300 references to the cross of Jesus Christ and what happened upon the cross. 1,300 times assurances that salvation can be had, but only through the precious shed blood of Christ. This is the central theme of the Bible, that for us to come to know God must come through that cleansing of the precious blood of God's dear Son. Someone has said, one theologian has put it like this, that the Bible is the book of blood, wholly distinct from all other books for just one reason, namely that it contains blood circulating through every page and in every verse. From Genesis to Revelation, we see the stream of blood. One preacher asked another preacher, well, how do you make a point stick in your sermon? He said this, I tell what I am going to say, then I say it, then I tell them what I have said. That's how I say it. So he tells them what he's going to say, then he tells what it is, and then he tells them again what he has said. Now, this is about repetition. Things that are important in life are repeated. Teachers do it oftentimes. Parents do it all the time. We repeat. We make known by emphasizing the points to people again and again and again. The essential things of life. The things that matter. And that's what God does. Peter even mentions this and says, this is why I'm repeating these things to you, to bring it to your remembrance again. And the Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher of all, who has inspired the Word of God, and that's why you come to the same truths in every book of the Bible. You see the same things repeated again and again. And so the Holy Spirit, the greatest teacher, uses that basic law of teaching in repetition. So with picture after picture, type after type, symbolism after symbolism, declarations after declarations. Throughout the Bible, the Holy Spirit is teaching this truth. And when you come across, I trust you're reading your Bible, and as you're coming across the same things again, you should say, well, this must be important. That's why God repeats it. And here is the truth. This is the thing that we read in the latter part of verse 7, that this is just one example, one clear example, but it is repeated all the way through, from Genesis to Revelation, that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, that is God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. This is something that is repeated all throughout the Bible, that cleansing of our sin comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the primary message of the Bible. The blood, the precious blood, the peace-giving blood, the purging blood, the blood that gains victory over temptation and the world. And here are three things that I want to leave with you from this portion of the text. Three things. One is about the message that is given, and then the provision that is given, and then the effect. The message of the blood atonement, the provision of the blood, and then the effect of the blood. So let's think about this. It says here that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. This is the message of the Bible. The blood. Well, no one likes to look at blood. I certainly don't like looking at blood. Our society shuns it. There is something about blood that it cuts to the heart. It causes us shaking. And it makes us to become weak when we see it. It's something that horrifies us when we actually see blood. But it's a central message about the way that sin is atoned for. Sin is forgiven. And yet many exclude the term blood. They even use it in a curse word, in a bad way. But my friends, we should not use such things in a bad way. We must have a right attitude towards the term blood. And yet this is a phrase that is excluded, even excluded from many pulpits. It is excluded even in some of the modern hymns. When they try to revise some of the older hymns, they remove the term blood from it because they would say, well, this is not right. And people don't like to hear about the blood. And yet the Bible is speaking about the shed blood of Jesus Christ. God did not hesitate to use this word here. And He says that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The Lord Jesus Christ did not hesitate to use this word. He says in John 6 and verse 53, it is recorded, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye have no life in you. The Apostle Paul, here John, did not hesitate to use that description. Indeed, we could speak of this word with that adoring wonder, with heartfelt thanks. We can speak of it with great reverence, the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, is precious to God, His Father, because it cost Him so much. Precious is that blood to us because through it comes every blessing. Even forgiveness of sins. Now here is the message. Message of the blood is something that has been affirmed in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is divided into three parts. And you have the books of the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. And when you think about the law of God, when you think about that, you think about all the various books, especially the first five books of the Bible. And then there is that special book, Leviticus. And you read about the feast of the Lord. What's at the heart of the feasts? The Day of the Atonement. And that is described in the Bible, that day that millions of lambs would have been killed as sacrifice, as a picture of what Jesus Christ would do. And it says this in Leviticus 17 and verse 11, that the life of the flesh is in the blood, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Oh, that portion in the law of God, what is that telling us? Very simply this, it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. Then there is that other division in the prophets. And one of the greatest books in the Bible amongst the prophets is the book of Isaiah, the prophecy of Isaiah. And if you have read Isaiah, your mind goes through various passages and you come to those central themes concerning the Lord Jesus Christ in chapter 53. I'm sure you think about that. That we are brought face to face with the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ that was promised all those years before Jesus came. We are told He was wounded for our transgressions. What is that telling you? What is God telling us through the prophets in the Old Testament? That the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And then, of course, the book of Psalms, which is that third division of the Old Testament. And you think, well, what is in the heart of the Psalms? And you think about those Psalms, wonderful Psalms, Psalm 23, Psalm 24, and so on. Psalm 22, the old writers and preachers would have divided those Psalms and say, Psalm 22 is about the cross of Jesus Christ. Psalm 23 is about the crook of the shepherd. Psalm 24 is about the crown of Jesus Christ, the glory of Jesus Christ. And in that Psalm 22, it begins with those words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What is that telling you? The Old Testament is telling you the same message, all running through it, that there is a blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, the Messiah of God, the Son of God, cleanseth us from all sin. And of course, the New Testament, it is filled with this teaching. The Gospels are filled with it. It's description of what Jesus Christ came to do. His shed blood upon the cross is very clear to us. All of the Gospel writers speak of the death of Jesus Christ. His crucifixion to various forms from different angles, don't they? They all say the same thing. And then you think about the epistles. What do they talk about? Here is one epistle. But think about those words of the Apostle Paul. Again, we could quote many, many verses that refers to this. But let me remind you of what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 5 and verse 8. But God commendeth His love towards us. That is, He demonstrates His love towards us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then it goes on to say in verse 9, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Or in Ephesians 1, verse 17, if you have a modern Bible, that term is removed actually from your Bibles. But in Ephesians 1, 7, it says this, in whom we have redemption. And then it says, through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Or again, those famous words of Hebrews 9 and verse 22. We read this, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, cleansed with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness of sins. There is no, as the wording is there, is to do with when there is an illness that has been put away. Like cancer, we say the cancer is in remission. The cancer is gone. It is in remission. And so, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. What the Lord is saying in the New Testament, in those Gospels, in the epistles, is this very truth. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And then the final book of the Bible, Revelation, The book of Revelation, what's the heart of it? It's described in chapter 1 of Revelation. There is that great doxology, that great praise to the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, it says in verse 5. What is that final book of the Bible telling us, the book of Revelation? The very same thing that God has said right at the beginning. The very same thing that God has said in the prophets and in the Psalms and in the Gospels and in the epistles, that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I hope you see that. I hope you see why it is that also the enemies of the gospel do not like this doctrine. That Satan does not want it to be preached or believed. Because you see, it is this shed blood of Jesus Christ, our only hope. The cross of Jesus Christ, upon which Jesus Christ gave Himself instead of us, is our only hope. Our hope is not found in a building. Our hope is not found in any kind of religious practice and ritual, but is found in the fact that Christ shed His blood instead of us. So that's the message. The second thing I want to say is the provision of the blood. The provision of the blood. It says there that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The provision of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now think about those terms. The blood of who? The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. What's that telling you? The name of Jesus is a reference to His humanity, the humanity of Jesus Christ, that He has a human name, Jesus. It's the blood of God's Son, the blood of man, a perfect man, that was shed for the sin of man. And then it's the blood of Jesus Christ. What does that tell you? The Christ of God, the Messiah of God, is speaking of His ministry as the Messiah who would come to fulfill the covenant of God and to fulfill the promises of God. And then it's the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. What's that about? What's that the reference to? It's about the deity of Jesus Christ. That it is the blood of God's Son. Oh, my friends, the wonder of all of these truths, the wonder of this, that in Jesus Christ, God provides the answer to the sin problem. The sin problem is not answered by you being baptized. The sin problem is not by you doing certain kinds of rituals. The sin problem is answered through the provision of the Savior, Jesus Christ. Not only the provision of Jesus Christ, but the fact that He shed His blood. John the Baptist, when he was baptizing the Lord, Jesus Christ came on the scene, and John the Baptist cried those words that is often repeated. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Here is God's Lamb for the sacrifice. In years before this occasion, when John declared that, Israel had to provide their own lambs. That was to be without blemish. That lamb had to be killed, had to be brought and to be killed. And its blood was applied to the doorposts. Its blood was seen. People saw it being shed, that warm blood of the animal. And God had said, in the book of Exodus, at the time when He was to rescue the children of Israel, He said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." But here is in the banks of Jordan, John said, "Wait, wait, this is God's Lamb. Wait, you don't have to search to find a little lamb that does not have a spot or wrinkle. God has already searched, and God has already found the Lamb Here he is. He's qualified. For Christ is without spot. He is the sinless, spotless, perfect Lamb of God. That's the provision of the blood. God provides himself a lamb, the sacrifice, the blood. And that involves this work of him being our substitute. In providing the blood, the Lord Jesus Christ was not shedding his blood for himself. It was being shed for us, sinners. God provided himself, or provided for us, a substitute. We should have been there, but Christ took our place. There's a book by a man called Robert Coleman. It's called Written in Blood. It tells the story of a little boy whose sister needed a blood transfusion. And the doctor had explained to the family that she had the same disease as the little boy had, but the little boy had recovered. But the sister wasn't recovering. She was dying. And she needed blood transfusion, but it couldn't have been any other blood but the same blood that was running through the veins of his brother. It had to be a blood that had already gone through the healing process to have the right kind of ingredients in it. And so they approached the little boy. His name was John. And they explained the matter to him. "Would you give your blood to Mary, your sister?" the doctor asked. And John hesitated. And his lips quivered. And then he looked and said, "Yes, I will, for my sister." And so then they were both connected with each other, and the needles went in, and the blood was flowing through. And the girl was weak, and the little boy became more and more weak. And as the boy was feeling the pain and he was suffering under it, he looked at the doctor and said, "Doctor, when do I die?" Well, the doctor suddenly realized this boy had thought that by giving his blood means that he's going to give his life for his sister. That's why he was so worried at the beginning. But he said, "You are not going to die. Your sister just needs a little bit of blood from you so that she could get all the antibodies that she needs." His blood was being substituted, put in the place of her blood. But my friends, there is something much deeper that took place on Calvary's cross. The Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood, all of his blood, for us. But in his case, he died. He had to die. He had to become our substitute so that we might live. Have you taken hold of that? Have you grasped that? Can you look by faith to Jesus Christ this morning and think of him dying upon the cross and say, "He died for me. He died in my place, in my room, instead of me." There is that hymn that says, "The wrath of God that was my due upon the Lamb was laid, and by the shedding of his blood, the debt for me was paid." And that blood satisfied God. That blood answered God's just demands. The Bible, you see, says in Ezekiel, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." And you see, God had to devise a way whereby his justice would be satisfied. Because God cannot sacrifice his justice on the altar of his love, the old writers would say. He can't sacrifice his justice, his holiness, on the sacrifice on the altar of his love. And because God is just. And we've used this illustration many times before, but it is a good illustration to show this truth, that God's demands of justice must be satisfied by himself. And I've asked you to think in the past. Suppose you were brought before the courts and you had been found guilty of murder. And suppose the judge were to say to you, "You're guilty of murder and you're sentenced to die." In this country, sadly, the law has changed. The biblical law would be, the biblical point would be the curse of murder generally would be punished by death. But before you knew it, you think about that. The judgment has been passed. And before you knew it, and what was happening, that same judge lays aside his robes. He comes down to you and he says, you may go free. Instead of you, I will die. Instead of you, I will give my life. And so the you would be set free. And so, my friends, it is the same with the Lord Jesus Christ. God's justice must be satisfied. And so he sent his Son. And that's why this verse is so important, because it is the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, that was shed. And that is what cleanseth us from all sin. The Bible tells us this, that when you sin, you die. That the wages of sin is death. But then it says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord also says in the Bible, and I'm paraphrasing so many passages, that he speaks about his love toward sinners. I love sinners. I love sinners that I will go and die instead of sinners. That is real love, isn't it? That is sacrificial love. That is personal love. God's love working in perfect harmony with his justice. And that brings salvation to us. He provides a substitute. He provides satisfaction. He provides for his justice. He provides a savior for us. And that's what the angel said. Didn't the angel say, unto you is born this day in the city of David a savior? Can you get this? And those words, unto you, it says, unto you is born this day in the city of David a savior. Unto you. God took them into account. He takes us into account. He loves us sinners. And he sent his Son to be a sacrifice for sin. And through his blood we can be saved and be set free from the burden and the bondage of sin. And finally, the effects of sin, or the effects of blood. The effects of the blood of Jesus Christ. It says this, that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Sin, another term that people don't like to hear or talk about, like the term blood. Sin, friends, is the ugliest thing in the world. It's the deadliest thing in the world. It defiles us. It denigrates us. It destroys us. And if unforgiven, it will damn us in hell forever. But there is a remedy for sin. There's an antidote for sin. And all that sin brings with it. And that is this, the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the antidote. Is there a cure for this condition? God says, yes, there is. And it's this precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's why it's called precious. Because of whom it is from God's Son. And it is for what it is. It is the only cure for our sin. Nothing washes away our sins but the blood of Jesus. And this blood, it is that when you look at it, when you think about it, it reveals our sin. It shows how horrible our sin is. It's the sacrifice of the cross that shows up our sin. It's where we see our sin in the pure light of Jesus Christ, the pure light of the cross. That then it is that we discover how hideous it is, how ugly our sin is, even the things that we think as being too small. Do you ever notice how the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and his shed blood exposes the specific sin of those who are under its preaching? You feel uncomfortable. I feel uncomfortable when I begin to think about what God demands. And when I think of how much He loved that He shed His blood upon the cross for me, and it shows me how ugly my sin is. You see, this shameful betrayal of Judas, of the Lord Jesus Christ by Judas, that becomes even more despicable in the pure white light of the cross of Jesus Christ. You see then the cowardice of Pilate, who did not have the courage of his own conviction when he said, this man has done nothing amiss, he's done nothing wrong. Then it becomes, his cowardice is made more visible when you look at it with the cross of Jesus Christ in your view. Just as the background of that black velvet, if you've gone, you husbands, you've gone to buy a ring for your wife, or you see, I don't know any of you have bought a diamond ring, but you see it, why do they put it against it? There's a black velvet, so that you could see the contrast. It would display the wonder of that diamond ring. And so it is, at the backdrop, at the background of the cross of Jesus Christ when He was dying, our sin is seen for what it is. How awful is our sin? Would you see how sinful you are? Then, if you want to see that, visit the cross of Jesus Christ. There it was, that sin shows itself to be real, the reality of sin. And my friends, have you acknowledged the reality of your sin? Are you conscious of your own sin, your own need of cleansing? But the blood of Jesus Christ as well, the effects of it, yes, it shows us what sin is. But also, it shows us that it can be removed, that it cleanses, it removes our sins. A preacher was once preaching about this matter from this very text, when suddenly he was interrupted by an atheist. How can blood cleanse sin? He was asked. And that preacher for a moment was silent, and then he answered the atheist, well, how can water quench thirst? Can you explain that? No, I don't know, replied that atheist. And he said, well, I don't know how it does, but it does. That's what we know it does. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. As a child, I don't know if I've told you this story before, it is of my childhood, of being probably about 10 or 11. And I used to see in the summer holidays these old ladies coming into a small brook that ran through the village of my grandparents. And they would bring all their pots and pans and dishes to this brook to wash. Now, to my eyes, it was all very dirty. And because not only they were bringing it with all muddy feet to this brook, but there are these piles of ashes alongside this brook and between these ladies. And they would come and they would put this ash in the dish and then wipe it and wash it and then wash it in the water. And we used to think, this, it makes the dishes all very dirty and it makes them all black. But we did not know that the ash is so alkaline. It is just like soap. Soap is alkaline. That's why it gets the grease off, and ash does the same. And so it got all the grease off the dishes, and it made them shiny. After they came out of water, they were all very shiny. But I didn't know at the time when they applied it, it all looked black, and it all looked dirty. But yet it was working its chemical reactions on the dishes to clean them. It was most effective and simple cleaning detergent. And my friend, so it is with the blood of Jesus Christ. It makes a sinner to become white as snow. It is effective. It really cleanses. It pardons. It averts the punishment. It pronounces sinners like us just in the sight of God. It makes that pure which before was foul. And so it is we sing, there is power, there is wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. No matter how vile you may be, no matter how black you may be, no matter how selfish you may be, no matter how your past is horrible, your sin might be cleansed by that blood which flowed from Christ's hands and feet and side. It washes all sin, you see, from all sin. Not just most of sin, but all sin. And not only for now, but forever. Sin is purged. Have you ever knelt then before the cross of Jesus Christ? Have you ever knelt in your heart before the Lord, calling upon Him, Lord, forgive me. I acknowledge my sin. If I say that I have no sin, I am deceiving myself and the truth is not in me. But Lord, I come to Thee and I ask, I beg of Thee to show me mercy and cleanse me by Christ's blood. That's what then brings forgiveness and pardon, because there is cleansing in the blood of Jesus Christ. This is the primary message of the Bible, so that not only we might know God and ourselves, but to be saved. May the Lord then bless His word. Amen.